Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Are the signs of spiritual success present in your life? Here's the measuring stick. Are you cheerful? Happy in life? Are you content? Are you aware that there's an omnipotent, omniscient God in heaven that can control everything? Are you confident in the Lord, resting in Christ? Through Christ, with the power and the strength of an omnipotent, omniscient God, I can accomplish anything I need to accomplish in life. Do you have that confidence? These are signs of success in the Christian life.
Have you discovered the secret to spiritual success? Today, Dr. Bob Wood shows us three important principles seen in the life of the Apostle Paul that we can apply to our lives if we desire to overcome depression and distress. If you have a Bible at hand, we invite you to turn to Dr. Wood's text, Philippians chapter 4. Here now with today's message is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Just a few moments, I'll be reading you the first 13 verses of Philippians chapter 4. But first, I'd like to give you some facts out of a leading psychological journal recently published. Tells us that 18.8 million American adults live daily with depression. Tells us that preschoolers are one of the fastest growing markets for antidepressants. Over 1 million preschoolers are clinically depressed. One of the causes the Psychological Journal mentioned was modern video games and how they stir emotions and take reality out of life. But our children are really caught up in video games, and a few adults are caught up in video games. Depression will be the second largest killer after heart disease by the year 2020. 57% of those who live in a depressed state consider suicide. Many of them accomplish it. The journal says that depression is caused by traumatic experiences in life. Circumstances that we feel like are beyond our control, so we get depressed, all bent out of shape, burdened down, unable to think clearly. Just imagine, if you will, a elderly man in his late 60s walking into a psychologist's office, and the psychologist says, "Tell me something about yourself." And he said, "Well, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one, almost beaten to death. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I spent in the deep, in journeyings often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and in thirst, in fasting often, in the cold and in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who's offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I'll glory in things which concern my infirmities. As a psychologist listens to this old man, he said, "Well, you have every right to be depressed. There are many traumatic experiences in your life. There are many circumstances over which you have no control. Maybe I'll put you on Prozac or or one of the other drugs that might help you with this. And then the old man says to the doctor, I'm not unhappy. I'm not depressed. I'm rejoicing evermore. I'm looking beyond these things that have happened to me in my life to what the future holds, and therefore, I'm not depressed. I'm not upset about life. You know, this little book of Philippians is one of the most powerful books in the New Testament. Paul is in prison in Rome. He's in dire circumstances in his life. And then the theme of this little book is continual rejoicing. Paul is revealing to us in the book of Philippians the signs of spiritual success. That's the title of the message this morning. Are the signs of spiritual success present in your life? This continual rejoicing, no matter what the circumstances may be. You know, in this little four-chapter book, 16 times we find the word rejoice. Paul really is revealing his heart in the latter days of his life in this passage of Scripture. Follow with me as I read the first 13 verses of Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you always. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound, and everywhere in all things I'm instructed to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Does that sound like the words of a man in prison who suffered all of these things in life that he told us about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that I read to you earlier? A man who literally is depending on the Lord for everything that happens to him. How can we live in this world with the dire circumstances around us, seeing the direction the world is taking, this country is taking, seeing the dishonesty and immorality on every hand, suffering the sicknesses that we see in so many people, like depression ruling in so many lives today, suicide rampant in this country? How can we live and show the signs of spiritual success in our life? How can we live like the Apostle Paul? Well, first of all, the successful Christian is cheerful. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. The successful Christian is cheerful. The word rejoice means to have a happy, joyful spirit. He's saying this from prison. He's saying this in very difficult circumstances. But he says rejoice evermore. This word rejoice is very interesting here in the original language. It's a primary verb. It's that verb and its synonyms are used in 289 verses in the New Testament. Joy in this synonym in 306 verses and happy in 26 verses. Over 700 passages in the New Testament instructing Christians to be happy. Do you think God does not understand the circumstances in which we live? Do you think He cannot see how difficult life is? But He's instructed us to be happy, to rejoice. What causes this rejoicing in the Apostle Paul? First of all, they were bound by love. Look at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul said, I love you other Christians. I may be in prison, may have difficult circumstances in my life, but I have chosen the people that I run with, that I live with, that I enjoy being around, and I have this overwhelming love for you. Let me ask you, who do you love? Who are your heroes? Who do you focus on in life? Is love a part of your life? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love never fails. That's pretty interesting. A true, successful Christian loves the right people and loves the right things. They're blameless in their labor. Look at verse 3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, our helpers, our workers, who labored with me in the gospel, and Clement also, and my other fellow laborers. If you're doing something worthwhile, regardless of the circumstances around you, you're happy. Paul, for goodness sakes, is in prison. But he's writing to the church at Philippi saying, listen, what we're doing is important. The work we've chosen is valuable. Many Christians are not happy today because they're not working for the right things. They're not excited about the right things. We get caught up in the material trap and the money trap, and we want things rather than genuine service to the Lord. Well, they were blameless in their labor. They worked for the right causes. You want to overcome depression? Have something worth working for. Choose the right things to put your energy into. Thirdly, they were blessed with life. Look at the latter part of verse 3. My fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. They're blessed with life. They're blessed with eternal life. The Apostle Paul looks beyond his daily circumstances. He looks beyond his daily problems and he says, I'm going to live somewhere forever. Many years ago, I was reading the book Builder of Bridges and came across a statement that Dr. Bob Sr. said, most profound thought that ever crossed his mind was that he had to live somewhere forever. Are you so caught up in living in this world today that you don't realize or recognize or think about you will live somewhere forever? This life is just a journey. We're passing through here. Forever is a long time, regardless of how many years God chooses to give you in this world. You're going to live somewhere forever if you understand heaven. If you understand that in heaven there's an absence of those things that bring pain and sorrow and heartache to men, you'd be happy about that. Paul said, I'm able to overcome these traumatic experiences and these circumstances of life, but I'm looking forward to something better and I'm working for something better. These are signs of success in the Christian life. Are these signs present in your life? Are you working for the right thing? Are you excited about the potential of the future? Verse 11 and 12. The successful Christian is content. This is a state of mind. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, For I have learned. I have learned to be content. That's a pretty difficult lesson for all of us. It's pretty easy for us to get unhappy. It's pretty easy for things to turn in such a way that we didn't choose, and then that makes us unhappy, and then our whole attitude changes. But Paul is saying in this little letter to the church at Philippi, I have learned to live in a state of contentment. Doesn't matter if I'm in prison or if I'm enjoying a banquet. It doesn't matter where I am. I'm content because I know God is in control. I know what the future holds. And I know these circumstances that we're living through are temporary circumstances. These people had a humble mind. Submissiveness. You know, to submit to injustice and maltreatment without hatred or malice. This man has been abused. This man has had all kinds of enemies attack him, and he's writing from prison, and he said, rejoice! Rejoice evermore! These people can't take away from me those things God has given me. These people can't take away from me those things God has prepared for me in the future. I know they're there. So I can take whatever mistreatment I get. They had holy minds. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What about your thought life? What are you thinking about? You see, one of the things that robs us from peace is having a lack of control of our own mind. The man that can't control his mind, the Bible says, is like a city broken down without walls. Satan just comes in when he wants to. He creates havoc in your mind. What are you thinking about? Paul is telling these people what he focuses his mind on to bring him this internal peace, though things around him are not very peaceful. What is your mind on? It is so easy to dwell on those things that are bothering us. It's so easy to dwell on those things we fear. But it's just as easy if you get in the practice of it to think on the things of God, to think on the Scripture, to focus on scriptural things. They had a hearing mind. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace of God will be with you. Peace, a state of mental tranquility. Take the things you've heard in this book and put them into practice in your life, and you will know the peace that passeth understanding. Sure, depression is rampant in our society. Suicide is rampant. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse. These are not the ways to control your mind. The way to control your mind is let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. To let the Lord rule in your mind. To think about the right things. To have a mind that receives instruction. Do you receive the instruction of this book, or do you reject it? Does it not suit your liking? Does it not make you happy? I think the key to this is learn. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased, that means made low. I know how to abound, that means be prosperous. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. This verse is so simple, so clear. There are going to be times in life when you need something you don't have. There are going to be other times when everything's going your way. But that does not affect how you think and live. That's what Paul's saying. You don't allow these things to rule and to control your lives. You don't allow these things to change your direction. You don't allow yourself to be caught up in thinking that will eventually destroy you. It's true, the successful Christian is content. That's a state of mind. Well, how do you measure up this morning? How content are you with those things that happen to you in life that you cannot control? Are you aware that there's an omnipotent, omniscient God in heaven that can control everything? Are you aware that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose, according to Romans 8:28? The same man wrote that. The same man understood that. Thirdly, the successful Christian is confident. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What's the scope of the power of a Christian? I can do anything I should do in life. Well, you slip into the power of positive thinking if you're not careful here. But this is, in a way, the power of positive thinking. Through Christ, with the power and the strength of an omnipotent, omniscient God, I can accomplish anything I need to accomplish in life. Do you have that confidence? You see, our problem is that we try to have confidence in ourselves when our confidence should be in the Lord. It should be God we're trusting in. It should be Christ we're looking at. It should be the Lord we depend upon and not ourselves. I can do all things. Here's the secret of that power. Through Christ. What does that mean? Well, this denotes a relationship of rest. It means that because of our relationship to Him and because we rest in Him, we trust in Him. Paul can be in prison, threatened with death, and he's probably writing another letter to the churches. He's praying. He's rejoicing, thinking about Christians serving God, thinking about people that have come to Christ in those churches. He's happy. He's happy because he knows the secret of power through Christ. Living close to God with the right relationship with God, not allowing sin to separate us from God or to pull us away from God. Not allowing sin to destroy our peace that passeth understanding. Not allowing sin to make us depressed and overburdened in our life. You know, the strength of their power from Christ. God is willing to share His power with His children. His power is sufficient for us. Do you realize as a Christian you have the power of God at your disposal to do the right thing at the right time in the right place? Well, pretty simple passage of Scripture Paul wrote. I just wonder what the average psychologist would think about a man that had been through all Paul went through. And he said, rejoice. I say again, rejoice evermore. I'm sure the psychologist would say, you're crazy. No, he's not crazy. He's spiritually successful. He's walking with the Lord. Well, here's the measuring stick, my young friends. Are you cheerful? Happy in life? Are you content with what life sends your way, knowing that God will eventually deliver you? Are you confident in the Lord, resting in Christ? What a wonderful, powerful passage of Scripture. What a wonderful truth for all of us. Are the signs of spiritual success present in your life? Are you dealing with this thing we call depression, which is so rampant in our society? You should follow the advice of the Apostle Paul. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this word, for the simplicity of it, for the truth in it. Help us to make a proper application of these truths that we may know something about the peace that the Apostle Paul needs. that we might rest in Thee, knowing that the future is in Your hands and You will deliver us eventually. Heavenly Father, help us to understand this book, to apply it to our lives, and to live in such a way that brings peace to us and other people to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
The same incomprehensible peace that the Apostle Paul found can also be ours as we apply God's truths to our lives. Today's message was preached by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to join us next time for another helpful message from the Word of God. Chapel Echoes is an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.